Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Yesterday morning, we had an ag panel discussion. Mostly it was on trades and tariffs and general ag policy, but I asked North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring. We hear the phrase, your checkoff dollars at work so often, and checkoff, whether it's beef or corn, soybeans, it does do a lot of great work, a lot of research and market promotion. Doug, how do we get value added into North Dakota products outside of the checkoff? Is that an ag department function or not?
Animal agriculture.
Yeah.
If you want true value added agriculture, I would say that's a good place to start right there. It's one of the things we lack the most of in this state. I like what Nancy was talking about, a plant at Spearwood. That would be great. Look at the one that just got going in Aberdeen. The basis is, I think it's 45 or 50. Well, that beats the $1.10 that I'm subject to. If we could get a crush facility here and then take that oil and move it to the Marathon plant and make renewable diesel, we could potentially maybe end up with a basis at 35, and it doesn't matter what's happening in the market.
That's
like
Illinois.
Where the trade is. Yeah. I mean, there's places in this country, in the Midwest, when you get into the eastern part of the Corn Belt, because of animal agriculture, because of crush facilities, because of use for the oil itself and the meal into further markets, they have a positive basis. Could you imagine if we are consuming so much here that all of a sudden we have export business and they got to start bidding at 10 cents or 20 cents over because we got a crush facility that's using all of it? Between Aberdeen and Spiritwood, that'd be great. And those are things we need to continue to work on. We'll work with the checkoff groups. We have great councils in this state and the Beef Commission to do what we can. I would suggest one thing, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Nancy Jo about this. We have a protein deficiency in Asia, and it's going to take a while for them to correct this. When I met with Vietnam last summer, they had a very realistic approach to this. They knew that the decimation they were feeling at the time, with 60%+ death loss at that time from African swine fever, was going to take them 10 years to rebuild their herd back. And I'll tell you, I think that's pretty realistic. No matter what the Chinese are saying, it's going to take them 10 years. Whether they're dealing with 70 or 80% losses. But here's the key point about it. They can only buy so much from us. Actually, and I don't say that with placing restrictions or barriers, they're only going to probably buy so much from us with pork. But poultry and beef have opportunities. We can see the poultry industry, just for the upper Midwest, probably experience a $1 billion boost going into the next 2 or 3 years. And that's just the poultry. The beef side is the part that I get a lot of ranchers asking me, well, now we can get into that market. Here's some of the challenges, and I think this is a way we could use those checkoff dollars, and I don't serve on the board or checkoff, but finding ways to start to expose those customers to beef. They've never eaten it before. You get in places across the world, they've had limited access to beef. They don't know what it tastes like. It's odd texture. It's an odd flavor. You can certainly spice it up like they do in some cultures and make it edible. But it's something we need to go out and slowly start to expose the consumer and the rest of the world to. And maybe it's some cheaper cuts. Maybe it's some value-added cuts. Something that will get them thinking about something besides duck, turkey, chicken, and pork. And I think that's a way to grow that market. Otherwise, we're probably only going to see, and I'm sorry to say this, but maybe 3 or 8% more consumption in the global market with beef unless we start to get to the consumer and let them know this is what's available and it is affordable. And let's get some good quality stuff to them, because quite frankly, when I leave North Dakota and I leave the Midwest, I don't even want to eat beef. It's not that good. And when you start eating water buffalo and they tell you it's beef, it's not a good thing.
All right, Julie, more animal agriculture in North Dakota. What type? I mean, should we have more feedlots? Should we have more guys expand cow-calf operations? Do you think any ranchers out around Glen Ullin want to start raising chickens? What kind of animal agriculture do we need in North Dakota?
Well, Mick, I'm probably a little prejudiced, but I think that we already have a foundation industry, opportunities for all animal agriculture, of course, but certainly have opportunities for growth within the beef industry. I know on days like today, it's hard to convince people that it's the truth, right? But we have incredible gains that can be achieved even in this cold northern climate. We have all the feedstuffs. We have the infrastructure. We have good, hardworking people, some of the highest quality genetics available right here in our state. And so we have all the ingredients we need to continue to expand upon those opportunities. And there's lots of different efforts. I know there's been partnerships within. We talked a little bit about the checkoff was mentioned before. While the Stockman's Association is separate from the Beef Commission, familiar with some of their programs, but I know that the North Dakota Beef Commission, together with soybean and corn, have partnered in some international efforts with the U.S. Meat Export Federation to help bring the message of U.S. beef to the Pacific Rim and other parts of the world and opportunities. The other thing I would just throw in, too, when we talk about the expansion of feedlots and such, one of the flagship programs that we're very proud of at the Stockman's Association, working together with actually the EPA, the Department of Environmental Quality, and other partners, are able to provide some free and confidential technical assistance as well as cost share support, similar to a program that they have at the Ag Department. To help with help producers who are wanting to maybe add or expand their feedlot operation, and to make sure that their operations are up to snuff in terms of those environmental regulations. So those are great opportunities. We've seen a growth within the feeding sector and certainly can continue to build upon that. Again, all you got to do is call our office, set up an appointment. What they can do is our environmental services director goes on site, does an evaluation, and gives you some advice about if things need to change in order to be in compliance, and also help those who decide that want to go through and develop a permitted system, kind of hold their hand through the process, engaging the engineers and the contractors to make sure it's done right, not only for the benefit of the operation, but also the benefit of the environment.
I asked all the members to give us some closing comments and a motivational moment here. And from Nancy Johnson of the North Dakota Soybean Growers.
From the Soybean Growers, I'd like to invite all of you to the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo, February 4th at the Fargo Dome, where you will be able to take part in a couple of very specific things, like a session on mental health challenges and how to look for the bright spots. We're having a section on risk management for this year with all of the crazy challenges that we have going on with weather, crop insurance, and all of that. We hope to have some very high-level officials there to answer everybody's questions, and we've set all this up so that we can make them accessible to all of you. We're also bringing in national leadership from the the United Soybean Board and from the National Corn Growers Association and the American Soybean Association to talk about how the national organizations are working every day to support everybody's income in the corn and soybean world. So those opportunities come up. There's a very easy to register location at northerncornsoybeanexpo.com. Just come, it's free, and we have a free breakfast and a free lunch.
Again, February 4th, the Fargo Dome, the Northern Corn and Soy Expo.